This is Marketplace Tech for August 29th. I'm Sabri Benishour, in for Ben Johnson. And that is our friendly neighborhood drone. We're in Midtown Manhattan with our drone master.
My name is Andy Shen, and I'm the owner of Shen Drones, and I make racing drones.
Yeah, so this little guy's bopping all over. What kind of drone are you flying here?
It's a small racing drone that's really aerodynamic and really fast. Goes about 80 miles an hour, top speed.
Whoa, 80 miles an hour, that's crazy.
Yep.
So what do you love about drones?
Everyone dreams of flying. You know, when people dream, they dream about flying. It's all something that, you know, very primal urge, and this really satisfies it. You know, we get a live video feed and from the drone, so it's as if we're sitting in it. And we can fly in ways that are just unimaginable. You know, we can invert, loop through trees, shoot through tiny little gaps. The best thing about it is that you can't really get hurt.
Andy Shen, founder of Shen Drones. Your drones are awesome. Thanks for showing them to us.
And thanks for coming out.
So unlike Andy flying his drones there, businesses that want to use drones have had up till now to get special permission from the Federal Aviation Administration. But starting today, the FAA is loosening the rules a little bit. You can now get a commercial drone pilot's license and be on your way, but you cannot go higher than 400 feet and you can't fly the drones further than you can see them. Some businesses are trying to work within these rules, and one is a company called Workhorse. Steve Burns is the CEO, and he is on the line from Cincinnati. Hi, Steve, and thanks.
Thanks for having us.
So you guys offer a kind of hybrid delivery technology. It's part truck and part drone. Can you tell me how it works?
We cater to people that deliver things. We make electric trucks, delivery trucks. We thought we'd get the drone close. Kind of think of it as that, as if the driver had a mile-long hand.
What are these drones saving exactly? Just a trip up the long driveway?
Well, we're going to start rural, which is where deliveries are expensive anyway, long distance between each house. Where it makes sense, let's say you have five deliveries to the right and one a mile to the left. Give the one to the left to the bird. You go on and do your five. It will catch up with you when you're over there finishing up your other deliveries.
But can the driver be driving along while the drone is flying, or does he have to sit there and watch it?
Somebody has to be viewing it, whether it's somebody in the passenger seat of the truck, or in the early days, we think we'll have the driver just sit there and watch it, which again, isn't the economies of scale, isn't the efficiencies you'd like to see yet, but we're ushering in something that could be as dramatic to the delivery of goods as the invention of the internal combustion engine. At 2 or 3 cents a mile, which is the electricity these drones use when they're flying, the efficiencies are just remarkable.
You know, you mentioned how onerous it is to operate under the FAA, the previous FAA rules. I mean, a lot of people have complained about the new FAA rules and said they are pretty limiting. Do you expect them to open things up at all?
Yeah, I really do. We've spent a lot of time with them. In the end, they're just people, even though they work for the government, and they're mostly engineers. But to tell you kind of their intentions, they listed all the restrictions, and the last line says, if you can prove to us that you're safe, you know, we can waive any or all of these restrictions. Now, that's invoking a lot of pain.
When do you think this is going to be something that real people see?
Soon. I would think this year they're going to start to see deliveries. Everybody has the vision of, does that mean the skies are going to be clouded with tons and tons of drones? Really, it's quite, these things fly at 400 feet. At that height, it looks like a bird.
I always think of Star Wars where they have these gleaming cities with this air traffic moving through it.
All the same vision about autonomous vehicles running around by themselves. That's a lot harder. So our job is a lot easier, and both are coming.
Yeah. Well, Steve Burns is CEO of Workhorse, and thank you so much. This was really neat.
Thank you.
Now, whether they fly or walk or swim, robots will one day kill us all, obviously. But for now, it turns out we really do want our robots to be dumb and happy. That's kind of the gist of some new research out of University College London and the Bristol Robotics Lab. It would appear that humans prefer robots that are expressive and nice, even if they're less efficient. Adriana Hamaker is a researcher at University College London who did a study on this. She joins me now in the studio. So, Adriana, let's set up this study. You had people and robots make an omelet together.
That's right, but we didn't use real eggs.
Styrofoam.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And you tried out three different robots, all named Bert.
Well, it was one robot acting in three different conditions. And the first two conditions, the robot didn't speak. Mm-hmm. In the second condition, it made a mistake. The first condition was pretty much perfect. In the third condition, it made a mistake, but it kind of put on this very sad face and said sorry.
The robot had a face in all of these?
Yes, yes.
But was it expressive in all three of them?
No, only in the third condition.
So what did you learn from this? What did people say? Which robots did they prefer?
Well, 15 out of 21 people preferred the communicative, sad-looking robot.
The one that was not super efficient, but it was kind of friendly.
Well, it took something nearly twice as long as the other robot, the more efficient one. Mm.
What do you think this will mean for companies and researchers working on creating robotic assistants for people?
It could really aid the design of robotic assistants. There's the famous researcher, Japanese researcher Ishiguro, who says that a lot of robots in the future will have a human-like visage. And I think in the future, perhaps in a factory, it might make things a lot more pleasant if you're working with an assistant that appears a little more human-like. It could even aid efficiency, for instance. Or even teaching reluctant students, getting granny to take her meds. You know, all sorts of applications, really.
Adriana Hammaker is a researcher at University College London. Thank you so much, Adriana.
And thank you.
I, for one, welcome our smiling drone overlords. Anyway, we here at Marketplace Tech are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, and we would like to hear from you. Tell us how you identified with the show and about any episode of Star Trek that really resonated with you. Call us up and leave us a voicemail at 304-87-TECH-1, and you may end up on the show. I'm Sabri Benishour, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.